perfectly now, but we are promised for all eternity that we will live in paradise with God himself at the center of all that we do. What could be richer than that? You know, we often get distracted and think that finding 6 million worth of coins would be the greatest thing ever. Jesus is so much greater than that. You can't have a human relationship with gold. Gold can't save you in a day of trial. Gold cannot atone for your sins. Gold cannot make you happy. Ask anyone that won the lottery. Well, ask him 7 years down the road. We have been given such riches, a restored relationship with God and a restored relationship with each other. Consider how often the human species all throughout the globe is warring with each other, how often families don't get along, how often nations, there is strife within the nation, strife with other nations. One of the themes that we're going to continue to see as we look at this book together is how God has brought about reconciliation and peace. First of all, and primarily with himself, through Jesus' death on the cross. But also, all those who know Christ are at peace with each other. Something that there's no other way we could have that unity and those riches of peace within human community. No wonder Paul is praying for their growth in grace, their growth in understanding. Look in verse 23, this prayer, he mentions that Christ is the head of the church. The church is Christ's body. And then he says it's the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now consider, God is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see the Trinity reflected again and again. We saw it very clearly last week. We also see it even in verse 17 here. We see God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of knowledge. And yet God has made humanity to represent himself so that there's a diversity in humanity. And this idea of the fullness of him who fills all in all, that God is calling people from all over the globe, all different kinds of people, all different stations in life, all different giftedness and cultural expressions. And it takes all of that to begin to capture just a mere glimpse of how glorious God is. And that's the reality that he gives us his church. Do we pray this for ourselves, that God will open up our eyes to the beauty of what he's doing all throughout the globe? Because very often, we can be so focused on what we believe to be true that we don't believe how we're hurting others by insisting that our way is right. And yet God has given us such an astoundingly large worldwide corporate family. Let us continue as a church to pray that God would open up our eyes more and more that we might see the glorious inheritance we have through Jesus Christ. Look at the third thing Paul prays for, verse 19. And what is the immeasurable power of his greatness, the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe? I'm so glad Paul prays this one, because up till now it can make it feel like, oh, I just need to pray more. I need to work harder at being more spiritual. I need to understand better. No, remember, Paul has already said he's praying that God will give us these things, that the ability to understand is a gift from God. And yet here he reminds us that all of this is because of God's power. What power is he talking about here? The immeasurable greatness of his power. Paul is tripping over himself, trying to describe how great this power is. The last half of the verse, according to the working of his great might. What power is he talking about? Verse 20, the power that raised Christ from the dead. The power that was able to seat Christ at his right hand, far above all rule, all authority, all power. As we continue to study Ephesians, we're going to see that Ephesians has this continual theme of recognizing that there's more than meets the eye, that this world is not just material, that there are human governments, but there are spiritual powers in the world as well. Some of them that honor and recognize God's power over all things, and some of them that oppose God. And yet God, through the resurrection, showed his power, displayed his greatness, and exalted Christ to his right hand. And so Paul here is both quoting and alluding to Psalm 8, which we heard earlier, about all things being put under man's feet, but also Psalm 110, this anointed of God sitting at God's right hand and being a co-regent with God. And this person is far above all power. This is why Paul writes elsewhere, it's at the name of Jesus every knee will bow. And Paul is reminding us that this resurrection power is the power that God puts in every single one of his people, because it's the same Holy Spirit. This is, Paul is reminding us here, this prayer for the church, that what they would see is that the power to follow God, the power to pray, the power to live as a saint doesn't come from us, but it's a gift of the Holy Spirit that he gives to every single person who believes in Christ. We have forgiveness of sins, a new identity, the ability to walk in God's ways, hope for the future. Now, Paul doesn't say that this means that we can all of a sudden exert our will and make everything we want come to happen. But he's reminding us that God has the ability to hold on to his people no matter what we face. And this power is a power that transforms a Christian from the inside out. It's really astounding when Paul is talking here and he mentions that Jesus is far above all rule and authority and power. Ephesus was known during that time for dabbling in the occult. There are many different forms of the occult. There are many magical texts, magical books. In fact, when you read Acts 19, you see that when the gospel went out there, one of the things that happened is Christians started confessing that they had dabbled in it, and they brought all their magical books together and burned them. Those magical texts in Ephesus often talk about the heavenly powers above, the powers that are above. And what you see in when you look at Acts 19 is you see that when the church comes to know Christ, Christ transforms them so that they're no longer afraid of this world, no longer afraid of these things, but the church is serving Christ so much that it turns the entire world upside down. So Paul is reminding us here that what is to shape our entire life is Jesus Christ, the one who is far above all power, all rule, all authority. He has given us a new identity. He calls us his people. He gives us his Spirit, and he wants us to grow in our understanding of our relationship with him. You know, many of you may remember the Christian band in the 90s, Jars of Clay. The reason they chose that name is they were quoting from Corinthians where Paul says, we have this treasure in jars of clay so that we might know that this power is not from God, but from us. We live in this already not yet tension. We already have Christ, but we long for the fullness of the inheritance. And as we live, we can have utter assurance in God's power to hold on to us and to sustain us day by day as we look to him by faith. So what have we seen this morning? We've seen that often we don't realize what we've been given. I heard this great story from a fellow pastor when he was a kid. His dad bought him a $75 pickup and gave it to him. He was incredibly excited. First car, but it was pink. This was in the 50s. How can you drive a pink car in the 50s? He kept it pink. It was bought from the police. And what all the other hotshots around didn't know is the police had rebuilt the engine so they could catch anything on the road. So Corvettes would pull up next to him. Other people pull up next to him, look at him, start to make fun of him, mock him. They'd sit there revving his engine, and he would just rev his engine. And when that light turned, he'd peel out. And why? Because he knew what was under the hood. He knew what he had been given. Paul's prayer for us as a church is that we would grow, that we would give thanks for what God has done, but that we would also continue to grow, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened, that we would know the hope to which we have been called, that we would know the glorious riches of the inheritance that are ours through Jesus Christ, and that we would know and rest in his glorious power. Let us continue to give thanks to him. Let us make this our prayer for ourselves and for those that we love. Let us look to him in prayer. Oh Lord, our God, we do thank you for the great gift you have given us. We thank you for your kindness to us, and we pray that you would help us to grow, that our understanding would grow, that we would grow in our relationship with you. We praise you and we thank you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.